church here in Westfield, no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. Our announcements this morning are very brief. First, we'd like to thank Alice and Martha for their time in leading our worship last week. Thank you. I just want you to know, I think there are more people here for you than there are this morning. So, see, you did well. Who's counting, though? It's okay. So, but thank you for taking care of that. Other than that, there are no announcements. Just something I'd like you to keep in your head for the future. September 15th, there won't be church here. We're all going to Stanley Park, and we'll be at the Beverage Pavilion, and there's going to be 8 churches joining with us. So first, Southwick United Methodist, Church of the Atonement, there's 4. Feeding Hills, Agawam, Second Congregational, and I'm forgetting one. Because there's 8. Oh, First Chicken is coming too. So there's 8. We might get West Springfield. We're waiting to see what's going on. So there could be up to 9, maybe 10 churches. We're all worshiping together in an ecumenical worship service in Stanley Park. Yeah, we're kind of hosting. So, but there'll be more to come with that. We already have some things in play. We're going to need some help, but we're not going to rely just on the numbers of First Congregational Church for that. We're going to spread the wealth, as it were. Are there any other announcements this morning? Hearing none, let us worship God.
Please join me in the call to worship as we begin. Come, all you people, come and worship.
God has made a covenant with us.
Come, all creatures of the earth, come and worship.
God has made a covenant with all creatures.
Remember the covenant and be thankful.
God remembers the covenant and God will save us.
Please join me in opening him just as I am in the blue number, the 331.
Thank you.
Please join with me in our prayer of invocation as found in our worship guide. God of constancy, we give thanks for your covenant with us, shown forth in the rainbow of hope. Give us space to reflect, time to learn, and confidence to work for a juster, fairer time, when the whole world can unite within your love. We ask this in the name of the one who taught us to call you our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
Lead us not
into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated as we turn our attention to the Word of God.
I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will tell all of your wonderful deeds.
I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High.
But the Lord sits enthroned forever, as he has established his throne judgment.
He judges the world with righteousness. He judges the people with equity.
The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble.
And those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you.
Our gospel reading this morning comes to us from Matthew's gospel. Immediately, he made the disciples get into a boat and go ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. This was after he had fed the 5,000. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, and the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately, Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
How many of you remember songs from when you were little? Yeah. They kind of stay in there, don't they? So, if you had a song that started, I feel awful singing after that, but you're getting me now. And if you know this, join in. "The Lord said to Noah, there's gonna be a flooding. The Lord said to Noah, there's gonna be a..." Get those children. Children of the Lord. Didn't that come to you when you were hearing the Noah reading that Judy read this morning? That was right on my mind. So the words of the children's song are certainly embedded in my mind from my time growing up in the playgrounds in Pittsfield. That's when we learned that, back in 1968, probably, 69. So, and I only had to look up one word of the verse, too. So, it's there. Research has shown that if you put something to music, you are most likely to have it in your brain for a lifetime. Other things that happen in our lives also stay in them. Like the big things, the big momentous occasions. Now, if you have been a resident of Westfield or a Southwick for a long time, you have been around to see some of the floods in the area. True? And if you weren't here for them, chances are you heard about them. Did a little research during the week. So there were big recorded floods. 1826. I think nobody was here for that one. 1854. Then December 10th through 11th, 1878. November 4th, 1927. And in August of 1955. Ah, there you go, Linda. So that's when we had August 11th and August 18th. And later flooding happened in 2007 and 2011. Did you know that the Westfield Home Depot has flood doors to protect the inside of the store? They were there when Caldors was there. And they realized that they had to do them. Actually, they wouldn't give them the occupancy permit until they put them in. And they actually had to use them, I think, 2011. 2011 was the only time that they had to be used. So, but the memory that would hold firm for some of our senior residents would be in August of 1955. Two hurricanes deposited first 6 inches of rain and then 20 inches of rain over a 3-day period. And I quote, "The storm broke communications and power. Main highways were impassable, and the city was cut into 3 sections by the resulting flood. Powder Mill Brook near Notre Dame Street," that's that way, right, "broke its banks and cut off the north section of the city, wrecking the bridge at the bottom of Clay Hill. Buildup of water under the railroad viaduct blocked traffic across the Great River Bridge and the Cowles Bridge," that's up here, I know that much, I cross over all the time, "on South Maple was closed when a portion of Crane's Pond Dam collapsed. Boats were seen on Broad Street and water poured through a few hundred feet from the Park Square Green." Westfield was a mess. It was pretty bad. Anybody remember? Linda, you remember? A couple of people remember that? Yeah. It was not pretty. So, they were without power, natural gas. Citizens resorted to cooking outdoors and drinking water became a problem. 76 businesses and homes were condemned, with a total of 650 homes, 50 businesses, 7 industrial firms, and 16 farms experiencing flood damage. 9 bridges were washed away or damaged, and an estimated 600 automobiles were damaged. Losses were estimated at some $6 to $8 million. That's 1955 million dollars, when the average income was probably around $8,000 a year. Hurricanes Connie and Diane hit landfall in North Carolina and caused millions of dollars of damage. People, at least though, had some knowledge of what was to come. With the advances made in the study of meteorology, we can be warned and make plans to be safe well in advance. And more often than not, we get the sky is falling and nothing happens, right? But at least we now have warning. Our study of meteorology has advanced us to the fact that we now know where the rains came and that God probably was not trying to punish the people of the greater Westfield area. We know why that rain came. We know it came from the hurricane. We know the path that it took, how it landed here. But thousands of years ago, people were not that fortunate. They had no idea when an epic rainstorm would come. Oh, they learned how to read the clouds and other types of patterns from animals as well as plants. This gave them some idea of what was to come. At least they knew it was going to rain. But they couldn't explain why things would happen. So what were they left to do? They were left to turn to an idea that God must be angry with them. Hence, we have the story of Noah and the ark. Did something happen? Yes. Was there a large amount of rainfall at that time? Yes. Do researchers say that they found remnants of an ark? Yes. So we know that something happened. We know that the early stories from the Old Testament were handed down by word of mouth. And the same way that when we tell our family stories, do things change a little bit as they get told from person to person? Do things get a little embellished to make the story a little better? Make the story a little more fantastic, perhaps. Those types of things happen. So, should we concern ourselves with every detail in the account of the flood and the ark? No. I don't think so anyway. As I said, we know that it probably rained a lot. A flood happened, crops were ruined, people and animals perished, and chaos resulted. Now, there may have been a feeling of unrest in the area before the rains came. But when the rain stopped and the sun came out, there was a beautiful, colorful bow in the sky that could not be explained. Today, we know that, and I quote, a rainbow is caused by sunlight and atmospheric conditions. Light enters a water droplet, slowing down and bending as it goes from air to denser water. The light reflects off the inside of the droplet, separating into its components wavelengths or colors. When light exits the droplet, it makes a rainbow. I had to look that up too, obviously. I couldn't have come up with that explanation if I tried. But thousands of years ago, that knowledge didn't exist. But what does that rainbow do for us today? First of all, when we see a rainbow, how many of us still get excited? I do. They're really cool. It's a great thing to look at. But still, just like it did for the people who heard the story, that rainbow still reminds us of a covenant. We know from earlier sermons and people who have talked to you for years that a covenant is when two parties agree to care for one another. Or to care for each other. What's clearly important in the story are two things. Number one, the promise not to destroy all life by water again. And two, those bound together by the covenant are God, Noah, and Noah's descendants, and all life on earth. God's not going to destroy us. We are going to stay faithful to God. We also need to be faithful stewards of the creation that God has left us. We must stay mindful of our responsibility to do so. And having a faith that is truly centered on God and has concern for all creation would compel us to rethink much of our lives and even some of our economies. It would cause us to be radically humble and accepting of the limits on what we do for the good of all life on earth. So, my friends, when you see a rainbow, I ask you to think how God has promised to care for us. Think about how we are called to be good stewards of creation. Think about how we are called to be good stewards to each other. And let us give praise to our God, because the chorus of that song is, rise and shine, give God your glory, glory. Rise and shine, and give God your glory, glory. Rise and shine, and give God your glory, glory. Children of the Lord. Amen. Let's take just a few moments of quiet reflection. As we come to prayer this morning, we are ever mindful of the joys and concerns that are listed in our bulletin. We pray for members and friends of our congregation, for Armand, Jonathan, Barbara, Ann, Jeff and Jeff, Dave, Heidi, Kathy, Marilyn, Leslie, Tom, Jean, Olivia, Susan, Betty, Mark, Bruce, Alan, Jody, Geneva, Janet, Kelly, Trish, Stephen, Lynn, Pete. We remember our friends in senior care facilities for Nancy, Joan, Betty, Bob, and Leslie. And of course, as always, we remember those prayers and petitions that remain in the silence of our hearts, known only to us and to God. And may God be with you. Please, pray with me. God, you have called us to be a people of prayer, to continue the ministry of intercession handed on to us by Jesus Christ himself. And so we come before you with confidence, bringing our prayers for the world you love. In your mercy, hear and answer our prayers. We pray for those who, like Jesus' disciples, find themselves surrounded by high winds and stormy seas. Those who feel overwhelmed by events and circumstances. The loss of a job. The death of a loved one. Serious accident or illness. Chronic pain. Depression or divorce. And those who don't know where to turn. We pray for those who find themselves deeply wounded by people they love, people they thought they knew and trusted, and who are struggling to know how to respond. We pray for those who are experiencing a crisis of faith, who long to wholeheartedly trust in God, but are held back by questions and doubts. We pray for those who have fallen into despair, who have begun to doubt God's presence and power, or question God's call in their lives. We pray for those who have had their hopes and dreams crushed, those whose lives have suddenly taken a different turn, and who now wonder what lies ahead for them. Loving God, it is not your will that any should suffer. We offer our prayers for all those who hunger and thirst, those who live in the midst of violence or poverty, and those who feel abandoned or ignored by the world around them. Lord, in your mercy, we ask you to hear our prayer. Through the life-giving power of your Holy Spirit, make your sustaining presence known to all who are in pain and need, so that they, too, may know your love and live. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives to intercede for us. Amen. There are many ways to respond to God's faithfulness, love, and mercy in our lives. We come now seeking to be faithful disciples of Jesus and to respond to God through our tithes, gifts, and offerings. With this, our morning offering will now be received.
He that giveth me the love.
whose promise is rock solid, we offer our lives and these signs of our daily living, not simply that bread might fill empty stomachs, but that through the working of your Holy Spirit, empty lives may be filled, friendless, lonely lives find intimacy, and depressed lives given hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we have our closing song, just a thank you to Judy for being our reader this morning, for our ushers who worked so hard, Jack for him sharing his talents and his offering with us this day, and for Alan, of course, and thanks to all of you for coming. Our closing hymn this morning is O Splendor of God's Glory Bright, number 105 in the Blue Hymnal. Proclaim the good news of God, for God's realm is near. Amen.